been a big week. I've been having some major issues with my dog, Lila, and Raven's dog is home recovering from surgery. So we've got a lot of questions. Dr. David Burse is a regional medical director at Bond Vet. You can visit them online at bondvet.com. Raven, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure. Doctor, right. Thanks so much for taking the time today. I wish that I could just really move you into my house for the next week or so. My dog just had TPLO surgery, which I know is a very common surgery for dogs, but, you know, obviously it's the first surgical procedure for our dog. And as helicopter pet parents, admittedly, we're totally freaked out by this. So, you know, we've spent 6 years making our house as pet friendly as possible. And now we're turning it basically into like a pet prison there. Like, how do we care for our dog when we first bring him home after a surgery like this?
Oh, first of all, such a big surgery, but really a good thing to do when they've had an injury to their cruciate is really the best procedure that there is to help them on the road to recovery. So you've done the right thing, but the aftercare can be tricky. It's a long road, a lot of physical rehabilitation, and like you said, baby-proofing the house effectively. They need a lot of TLC after a surgery like that.
So it's like keeping them off the couch, keeping him from jumping, you know, keeping him from basically being a dog, really, is the first couple of weeks. I mean, if I'm getting my facts straight there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, basically everything that they want to do is pretty much what they're not allowed to do. So what can be quite helpful is to get a dog cage, a little crate for them to be in. I'm not sure if your dog is used to that or crate trained, but if they are, it can be very helpful. It keeps them and their movement restricted, and it's like a little den for them. You know, they actually quite like to have somewhere that's their own, a little house within a house.
You mentioned physical therapy there, and we've been talking about it with our vet, and they have pool therapy. And is this something that, you know, in our pool, once the pool's open in a couple of weeks, can I just let my dog swim in there? Will that actually be good for him?
Yeah, actually, I mean, with the guidance of your vet, it's often helpful.
Lila Bear is my puppy. She's a rescue, and she's incredibly fearful. Like, we've had her seen in dog shrinks and the whole nine yards. She's afraid of everything. Now, the one problem we've never had with her was going to the bathroom. We trained her when she was, you know, 16 weeks old when we got her, and she's always been good. Very few accidents. Lately, we don't know what's happened, but we've had to throw away almost every single rug in our house, and she's going to the bathroom inside, and not just number one, number two. So we don't know if this is a fear thing or if something else could be the problem, but we also have had construction in our house going on. We've shielded her from it, but I'm wondering, is that enough, being such a fearful dog? Is that why she's doing this?
Yeah, well, difficult, and it just goes to show that they're little creatures in there with their own psychologies and thoughts and fears. It definitely could be that it's a behavioral related issue, but I would recommend, before going down that avenue, that you rule out some medical causes for having those accidents also. But definitely, when you have a disruption in the environment.
The UTIs. I have had a lot of listeners reach out to me and be like, does she have a UTI? Mm-hmm. But it's also the other one, which is why I think that it's not that. What medical conditions can that be?
Well, I think just having a general idea and picture of her underlying health is recommended anyway. I think you're right that the fact that both of those are happening together, a UTI wouldn't explain the other signs that you're seeing. And so behavioral anxiety or something of that nature is definitely up there on the list. But there are conditions that can cause accidents to happen. But having a baseline, we honestly would recommend having blood checked annually. You can only get so much information on a physical examination, checking their kidney health, their liver health, things of that nature.
All right, Dr. Burse, we asked our listeners for questions, and we've got a few of them that we picked out. That's coming up next. It's been a big week for our pets, well, for Raven and I. My dog, Lila, all of a sudden has started going bathroom in the house again. Raven's dog is recovering from surgery. So we figured we had a lot of questions. We should probably bring in an expert. Dr. David Burse, he's a regional medical director at Bond Vet. Earlier, he addressed our concerns, but we asked you if you had anything for Dr. Burse. I'm going to read you a few questions, all right, Dr. Burse?
Sounds good.
All right, question number one. Do cats know a pecking order? She wrote, I have 7 cats. My alpha cat, Tigger, passed away on February 25th. Since then, his birth brother, Cody, has changed. He was more of the class clown of the group, and now he's actually the grown-up, and he breaks up the other cat and dog fights, protects the house. Do they really know who is next to step up to the alpha?
Yeah, actually they do. They have quite a rigid order from the perspective of their little group. cats are naturally quite solitary. So you can find cats that enjoy each other's company, but it's not unusual to have things like your listener described. They definitely do have a hierarchy, and that can manifest itself when it comes to the way that they eat and use the food or the water bowl or the litter trays. So if there's conflict within a household, we always recommend having multiple of all of those things so that there's not as much competition.
That's so crazy that they just know who's next in line to be in charge.
You know, I've seen it too, doctors, like when one animal is correcting the behavior of another animal, we want to step in, right? Because we think they're quarreling or bickering or one's picking on the other, but they actually tend to get confused if there's no picking order, right?
Well, I think they certainly have very complicated relationships with each other, and we only can see and witness part of it. So they know what the structure is, and they work to minimize the resistance and the conflict that they encounter with each other.
This is a random side note, but speaking of pecking order, you know, earlier we talked about my dog Lila. She's a rescue, but she's incredibly fearful. I've had experts tell me, never bring another dog in with her, like don't get a second pet. And then I've had other experts say, yeah, she needs a strong dog to like guide her and take her out of her fear. What do you think about that?
I think it depends on how she interacts when you have her out on walks and things. If she tends to be quite social and enjoy the presence of other dogs, I certainly think if you were considering bringing another dog into the household, it would warrant a gentle and gradual introduction to make sure that they're suitable for each other. So maybe fostering a dog would be great as a way to see how they would get on and what their dynamic would be. Dogs can have emotional support dogs too, and so I think it's worth a shot.
Okay, great. John asked on our Facebook page, why does my cat lick plastic? It's so annoying.
Well, I have a couple of cats, and they surprise me with the things they do as well. So it's hard to say why they might do that. Sometimes cats or dogs will look at things when there is an underlying medical issue there. So again, we would always recommend having them examined. But this sounds more like just a thing that the cat enjoys doing, most likely.
Mm-hmm. It's just staring in a corner, licking plastic. And it might be seeing something. Then again, it might just like that trim.
Imagine if like humans did that. We just all of a sudden started licking
plastic.
Oh,
we locked them up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
We locked them up.
So.
All right, good.
I mean, they do that.
All right, one more. Katarina says, we just moved to a new home with a very large property, and our dogs are constantly outside sniffing and eating the plants and flowers. Are there any that would pose a serious threat to them, and how do I identify those?
There are some well-put-together websites pertaining to veterinary toxicology. Pretty sure the ASPCA have one. So there are definitely plants that are not ideal for both cats and dogs. So if in doubt, definitely should avoid that. If you have a garden, be checking which species are safe and which are not.
Dr. David Burse, Regional Medical Director at Bond Vet. You can visit them online at bondvet.com. Thank you so much for answering all our questions this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.